Sports Radio 12. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
We're back on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, and we're joined on the line by the CEO of the Goldwater Institute, Ms. Darcy Olson. Welcome to the program. Thanks very much for joining us this morning.
My pleasure.
Ms. Olson, there's a saying that politics makes strange bedfellows, and this would sort of be a perfect example. Goldwater Institute, a right-leaning institute, if I'm allowed to say so, and then sort of the city of Winnipeg, a generally middle-of-the-road sort of city in terms of its politics. Just find it ironic how the two sides are sort of joining together, or how you have your priorities and how it's going to hopefully benefit the city of Winnipeg. The big issue that seems to be at play here is the Arizona gift clause. Can you sort of give our listeners a history of the gift clause and maybe sort of its origins and how it affects in this situation?
You bet. The gift clause is part of the Arizona Constitution. I believe it's been in there since its founding. 37 other American states have one of these. And basically, it's very common sense. It bans the government from giving public money to a single individual or corporation to enrich that person. So in other words, the government can't just give you, Drew, $100 million to buy the Coyotes. And that is what appears to be happening in this instance. What is allowed, the government can hire a private company to, say, bus students to and from a school, and the company, in return, they receive the busing services, right? So that's a legitimate passage of public money to a private company. But when it's just to enrich the receiving individual and the citizens or the city or government is not receiving an equivalent, it is against the law. And we believe this looks to us to just be corporate welfare.
Sure, something that we're very familiar with here in Canada, but that's for another day and time. Let's talk about, go back to the building of the arena in Glendale. I mean, it was 2003 when that arena was built. It was built primarily with public funds. $180 million of the $220 million cost of the arena was publicly funded. Was the Goldwater Institute sort of active at that point in time? Was there any discussion along your lines about that being in itself being an illegal subsidy or in a violation of the gift clause?
Certainly, if that arena were under construction today, we would be talking about it. And I'm not sure in that instance it would violate the gift clause, although it certainly doesn't make good fiscal public policy. But in 2003, we didn't have our litigation arm, and we were a much smaller organization back then. So I don't even recall us even weighing in on the building of the arena at that time.
Okay, very good. Really, it seems like the issue boils down to the parking rights, and that's the big question at play. The city of Glendale says that, the team owns the rights and they're buying it, and you say that the city of Glendale already owns those rights. Law firms, the city of Glendale would say that they have law firms and they have, judgments along those lines, not judgments, but, documentation that backs up their claim. If this is the case, why haven't they disclosed those documents? And, instead of playing into this game of he said, she said.
That is such a great point, and it keeps raising the question of what exactly are they hiding. We went to court a year and a half ago to get the city of Glendale to release all public records related to the sale of the Coyotes, and Holzhauser wasn't involved until more recently, but we actually had to get a court order to have the city release those documents, and even though they had claimed to have released them all, just in the last 5 days, we've gotten 750 pages of legal documents, lease arrangements, titling papers, transfers, all sorts of mind-numbingly boring things that the average person would never, ever want to read. And we've asked for that same thing. We've said, show us where you think that this says that the city does not own the parking, and they have failed time and time again to do that. And the more we are able to read of these documents, the more we have become convinced that the city already owns the parking rights. But here's something else to understand. Even if the city does not own the parking rights, what the city would be getting in turn, so this supposed revenue off the parking, would have to be at least the equivalent of what the city is giving Holzhäuser, right? Those revenues
right.
would have to be the equivalent. And it looks to us like the city has far overestimated the amount of revenue that the Coyotes would be bringing in. I mean, they've assumed a 25% increase in attendance at these games. Last year, the Coyotes lost $40 million, and they have lost money every year since they've been in Arizona. So we just don't think that these are realistic assumptions at all.
Right. That speaks to my next question, which is about the parking studies, the competing parking studies that were done, one by the Walker Institute and one by T.L. Hawking. Now, the city seems to be pushing all their eggs into the T.L. Hawking study, despite the fact that T.L. Hawking is right now being sued for overestimating a previous parking study. Has Goldwater done their own sort of valuation of the parking rates and what they could possibly be worth?
We have not completed that, no. And we only recently got a copy of this second study to look at. And as you said, the Hawking study is just, this is a company that is under federal investigation, I believe, for a similar study on a similar deal in a neighboring town. And now those bonds are junk status. So, you know, we don't have a lot of confidence in the figures that the city is putting forward.
Do you find it coincidental that the Hawking study says that the parking revenue will be worth the exact amount that the city is paying for it plus the interest rate? Is that just too much of a coincidence?
Well, you know, this is politics, and so I guess probably nobody is that surprised about it, but certainly, we believe that the numbers have been vastly inflated over past performance, and this looks to us to just be par for the course for a city that has been less than honest in its disclosure of its documents and its dealings.
You mentioned the disclosure of the documents, and you just said previously that the city just sort of dropped 750 pages worth of documents at your door, and they seem to want an answer overnight. Do you get the sense that the city is, obviously not being forthcoming with the documents, and B, when they are presenting the documents, they're sort of just trying to drown you in paperwork?
I think that the city at this point is under a lot of pressure that they perhaps did not anticipate. When NHL Commissioner Bettman came to town, that created a lot of airwaves, you know, a lot of noise and so forth. And my understanding from the various lobbyists who have been knocking on our doors is that if Glendale isn't able to sign this deal soon, that the NHL is going to not sell the team to Holzhäuser, and he's going to take one of these offers coming in from Canada. So there has been tremendous pressure on the city to get things done, and I think that's why they have finally turned over these documents. It wasn't because of the court order. It wasn't probably to bury us in paperwork. It's because they've now reached panic stage.
What did you think of Commissioner Bettman's appearance in Phoenix this past week? And he really did take some pot shots at the Goldwater Institute. Are those just the desperate pleas of a man who sees his deal falling apart?
I think that Commissioner Bettman is probably very frustrated, and certainly we understand that. But it is, you know, it is our job to make sure that no government body is above the law. And right now, this city has been operating as if it is, and so perhaps we are standing in the way, but it's not us; it's the law. And, you know, I don't think they keep saying, well, what can we do to negotiate this deal with you? And, you know, the question that I come back with is, what part of it's against the law is negotiable?
Sure. I mean, I thought one of your interesting points was when you referenced the Dallas Stars sale, which is supposedly ongoing, and there's no talk of sort of public financing to that sale that the NHL is trying to undertake at the moment.
That's correct. Sales like this occur all the time with men and women who are eager to purchase teams, and they put the money, they take the risk, they get the rewards, and that is really the American way, and really the Canadian way, that you've got listeners there who have built their small businesses, and they've done it by the sweat of their brow. They've borrowed from a brother or sister to get something started, or taken out a small loan on a credit card. And here we have a situation where this buyer wants to come in and take $100 million from taxpayers so that we, in effect, buy this team for him. And it's not only against the law, I think it's also, most of us does consider that unjust and offensive.
Mayor Scruggs held a press conference a couple weeks back where she met with sort of the owners of businesses that are in and around the Jobbing.com arena, and it was, you know, typical, sort of a bit of a cry fest and pleas for people's jobs, and people's jobs are certainly very important here. What are you hearing from the public, the general public, about you know, this potential transaction? Do you find that the public opinion is on your side, or do you think that the people of Glendale and the people of Phoenix are okay with this use of taxpayer dollar?
Well, I think that from everything that we're seeing, from comments that follow news stories to the email and the letters and the calls and the drop-by visits that we get at this organization, that the public is squarely behind us here. One, I got a note that said, real short, Mr. Holzhauser stands to make millions off tax dollars that are paid for by everyday people, many of whom can barely afford to live as it is. And that person who wrote that, I think I kept that because that expresses the most common sentiment that we're seeing, which is people have a hard enough time making ends meet. The economy's been rough all over. We've got high unemployment, and yet we can afford to send $100 million to some guy from Chicago who's already doing quite well, I believe. And people just feel that that is very, very unjust, as well as a bad investment and against the law.
What would you say to people who say that the Goldwater Institute, you know, Commissioner Bettman said something along this lines, that the Goldwater Institute is filled with people who are ideologues and zealots?
Well, everybody has an opinion of others, and the Goldwater Institute is a place where principle always comes before politics. And I think that that is why we have so many supporters. We're entirely privately supported. We have contributors from every state in America, except one at this point. And it's because they know that no matter who is in office, they can count on the Goldwater Institute to stand up for principle and defend the Constitution.
So in short, you guys aren't going away anytime soon?
Not a chance.
Darcy Olson, CEO of Goldwater Institute, thanks very much for joining us on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Appreciate you giving of your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. We just heard from Goldwater CEO Darcy Olson, an interview we conducted yesterday afternoon, and we thank Ms. Olson for giving of her time. Still to come on the program, Hustler from Hustler & Lawless will join us next segment. That's where we're going to really delve deep into what happened in Phoenix this past week with Gary Bettman appearing there and really sounding desperate. So we'll talk about that next segment. Of course, we'll take your calls at 780-1290, 204-780-1290. And if you want to talk, if you want to follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve, and follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. What we want to talk about now is continuing on sort of with the theme of the program so far today, and that's headshots and concussions and really the toll, the physical toll that the hockey game, the game of hockey takes on people. And the best player in the NHL we know is Sidney Crosby, and he hasn't played in going on pretty
2 months.
Over 2 months now.
Yeah, 2 months. January 5th was his last game.
Yeah, so a little over 2 months
and apparently
now.
And the Crosby family is furious with the Penguins for allowing him to play that second game.
The game against Tampa. And more so, apparently, and I mean, it's being reported by somebody we consider a pretty reputable source, is Bob McCown. Mm-hmm. And Bob McCown says that he has it on good authority that Sidney Crosby's family, his parents, are trying to convince him not to play hockey anymore. Now, Crosby's agent, Pat Brisson, refuted the statement, said Crosby's parents have been extremely encouraging and supportive, and they will never feed any negative pulse to such a passionate mind. I don't really know what that means.
Yeah, neither do I. But, I mean, you could be supportive and still want him to retire.
Yeah, you can be supportive and want him to have a life after hockey and not wake up day in, day out with headaches and sensitivity to light. And
apparently,
this is what's going through his head right now. This is what's happening to Crosby.
Apparently, Pierre Maguire said that Crosby's frightened that his the next hit's going to be another concussion. And remember this, guys, he's still not symptom-free. Clearly, exactly. Otherwise he'd be back.
He's not symptom-free, which means 2 months after the fact, he's still waking up and he's lightheaded, and he's got headaches.
Look what happened to Mark Savard.
And he's,
you don't think that's frightening him?
Right.
That's
yeah.
it. Look at Mark Savard.
And he's potentially prone to depression and dark moods, and he can't watch television, and he's got light sensitivity issues. These are things you need to live. These are things you need to be able to handle to live a life.
And guys, yeah,
he's made his money.
Yeah, and guys, Crosby might be 10 years younger than Savard, but you know these concussions are they're on a grading scale, right?
Doesn't matter. I mean, I don't believe.
No, I'm just saying.
I don't believe in that nonsense either.
No. What do you mean? It's not nonsense. Sometimes it's a mild concussion. Sometimes it's a severe concussion.
I think that's important. I think that's a complete and total misnomer that there's such a thing as a mild concussion.
We're not okay.
Mild brain damage.
Hold on. We're using vague terms, but okay. Let's say that there's a scale of brain damage. There's on a scale of 1 to 10 that you could have a 1 on a scale of 1 to 10. It could be weak brain damage. There could be strong. I'm just saying, Drew. This is major. What do you mean?
Think about what you're saying. Well, weak brain damage.
Well, but
fat skinny guy.
There's brain damage that can already lead to maybe a chronic problem, and then there can be brain damage that is the same thing as maybe, you know, I mean, if you really break it down, if you were to punch me in the head, which I hope you don't do,
I'm getting close.
You could get minor brain damage, but if your head is pushed into the boards, that's a bigger blow to the brain. All I'm saying is that this concussion appears to be serious enough that Sidney Crosby is evaluating whether or not he should play hockey ever again. Even if he's not really, if that's not really in the back of his mind, and he's not going to publicly say it. If he's 2 months now out of,
he's only 23. That's the craziest part.
780-1290-204-780-1290.
And don't you feel like he's been around for a while?
Yeah. Well, when you come into the league at 18 years old and get, you know, 100 points.
How much of the fact that he's already won his cup? Not, I mean, it would be the most stunning news that if Sidney Crosby up.
He's not going to retire, Drew. He's not going to retire.
He'll
push it one more.
If he wakes up if next September rolls around and he still has headaches and he still isn't symptom free,
he just won't play, Drew. The truth is he's 23 years old. I mean, he could wait for 5 years and still come back and be an impact player.
Well, okay. If he's not okay, fine. Retire. I think we're splitting hairs between retire and not play hockey for 5 years in your analogy. But I mean, if he's not back in the NHL next season.
I think the foolish thing right now would appear to be playing in the playoffs.
Are you mental?
I wouldn't be surprised if he sits out next year, Drew.
Wouldn't be surprised if he sits out next year.
And then comes back.
Drew's point is, Ezra, that once the damage is done, the damage is done.
Exactly. If you sit out, if he's legitimately concerned about his long-term health, and first of all, his sister also has a concussion right now.
Let's know what you think.
Okay, more about what people think?
Yeah.
780-1290, area code 204-780-1290.
Do they think there's any substance to this? I don't know, but his sister, yeah, she has a concussion too.
So, the Crosby family, and they seem to be, by all accounts, a pretty standard, normal family, just with two hockey-playing...
From Cole Harbour, Nova Scotia.
...phenoms, as it were.
Yeah.
See, both of their kids currently not the kids that they've raised. They're not the kids that they've known and raised, and are not as vibrant and effervescent and everything else that they know their kids to be as a result of the game of hockey.
You kidding me?
Wouldn't you tell your kids to, strongly consider it to retire?
Yes, because this goes back to the most important thing in life, and that's health. And who cares? I mean, Sidney Crosby, if he doesn't play, is going to give up a lot of money, but he's already made a lot of money. But the most important thing is his health. So, yes.
Absolutely.
Health is more important than money, Drew. So if you're seeing a guy like Bob Probert, die at age 45 with CTE, which is serious head trauma.
It's brain damage.
It's brain damage.
It's called brain damage. Okay. Just say brain damage.
Head trauma, brain damage, yeah. And
splitting hairs, Drew.
Yeah, if you see a guy like that, yeah, Sidney Crosby has to be thinking, yeah, what if I come back? What if I wake up one day and I'm okay, and then I come back, then I suffer another concussion? Was it worth it?
And does it change the way you play?
Of course. Wouldn't it? Doesn't
Absolutely.
It have to?
I mean, it has to. It has to.
You're afraid to get... I mean, because we've seen guys
Sidney Crosby... Drew, I'm going to interrupt you there. Sidney Crosby always has the puck on his stick.
Which means he's always going to get hit.
That's right.
Which means the gentlest tap... And, I mean, we've seen it.
That was one of the most amazing parts of Wayne Gretzky. People don't talk about it enough, and they say, oh, he never got hit. He never got hit not because of Dave Semenko, which is a complete and total misnomer. He didn't get hit because he had such good
is such
he didn't let people hit him.
Exactly. Yeah. Such an amazing idea of where every single person was on the ice at all times. And the contact, and he would turn away from hits, sure, because longevity plays a factor in that too. He was so aware of everything that he never put himself in positions to get nailed like that. And I'm not saying that Crosby did in this instance. I mean, Crosby engages physically more than Gretzky, but in this instance, it was such a fluke play. It's such a shame that it's happened this way. Maybe it wasn't a fluke play, though. He doesn't think it was, but...
Yeah, Semenko was just there to make sure nobody did anything stupid, but I think the real shame here, Drew, is that if Crosby... Even if Crosby comes back, and if he's a different player, that's going to be a real shame.
Because he is the greatest
talent in the hockey world. And if he is not the same player, that's going to be a real shame for all hockey fans.
We have H-Bomb in Winnipeg who wants to talk about this.
Good nickname.
H-Bomb, good nickname. Welcome to the program.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, H-Bomb. Admittedly, we know who you are, so you're a big Penguins fan.
You're taking the intro right out of me. Yes, absolutely. Big Penguins fan. An even bigger Sidney Crosby fan. And I think as a Penguins fan, I think it's only fair to say that he shouldn't come back and play in the playoffs. The Penguins, somehow they've been able to hold on to their fourth spot the entire time. I don't know how much of a chance they have in the playoffs, even as a big Penguins fan, with all their moves. But with their moves, the team can get better without him. And then hopefully next season he comes back to play. The other issue I wanted to bring up was the fact that one of his mentors, and if I'm not mistaken, up until recently, roommate was Mario Lemieux.
Mm-hmm. Sir.
They don't live together anymore, is that correct?
Sid's made enough money now.
He finally moved out.
This year, though, I think.
Yeah, it took him a while. I think he played Xbox with Mario's kids.
Right, and the reason I bring that up is because we all know that Mario was one of the guys who had to retire early a couple of times.
Not concussion-related, but back-related, so your point's well taken.
That's right, and I think the point is that Mario could offer some insight into playing with injuries and about coming back too soon and something to that effect. Obviously, I'm sure there's still quite close, if not more so because of Sidney's injury. And I wonder how much of an influence Lemieux will have on him. What do you guys think about that?
It's a good question.
It's a very good question. How much of an influence will he have? You know what? A lot.
Sorry to interrupt. The question is, how much influence will Lemieux have on the decision-making process between Sidney, the team, the management, his family, and all that?
I think it'll be huge influence. I think that his presence in that city, but more so in thinking Crosby's life as a mentor, he'll be as influential as any other person aside from probably Crosby's dad. I think he will say, I've been in the league and I've been out of the league. You can still have a great quality of life out of the league. There's more things to hockey. And obviously he will let him, he can put the hockey playing into perspective and can relate to Crosby. Some other people could talk to him about it, but they couldn't relate to him. He can relate to him. I think that's a great point that you bring up.
Yeah, H-Bomb, I agree with Richard. Mario Lemieux, obviously, he's been living with him, but he's Sidney's mentor and obviously the owner of the Penguins. But I think it will have a huge impact. And, how could it not? Mario Lemieux obviously went through leukemia, Hodgkin's disease, and all these back problems. And I think that there's no doubt in my mind now.
Crosby's not because of a heart problem, remember?
Right, and Crosby's not coming back this year. I forgot about
the heart problem. I keep thinking back, but I forgot about the heart problem.
And I think Mario Lemieux, I mean, Richie mentioned this earlier on in this segment that, Sidney Crosby's family might be upset with Pittsburgh because they played him against Tampa, and then he suffered the second concussion when Victor Hedman drove him into the boards. But I think that, there's a lot of people involved with making decisions like that. When a player is going to be, suffers a concussion, they always have a generic test that they do to make sure that he's all right. And the problem with that is that sometimes that's not enough. Because now, like Drew keeps saying this show, a concussion is really brain damage. And brain damage, it basically slowly deteriorates, right? You suffer a blow and it gets worse. It doesn't ever get better. A brain injury doesn't, it's not like, you break your arm and it heals. Mm-hmm. So I think Mario Lemieux will have a huge impact.
All right, thanks, guys. Good luck with the rest of the show.
Thanks, H-Bomb. Appreciate the call. I wonder if we're at the tipping point of a radical change in all of professional sports.
We are.
Professional
we are, Drew.
Sports.
We are, Drew. And that's
such this, a Drew question.
And, no, and this is why.
It's a legitimate question.
No,
though.
We are. We are.
Are we out?
Yes,
you
yes we are.
Right?
Yes, we are. We are. And and it's about time. And the reason is because Sidney Crosby is the greatest talent since Wayne Gretzky. You can't deny that.
It's Peyton Manning getting being out of the NFL for possibly forever because of a head injury. Same thing.
Right. And this is just awful. Remember at the beginning of the year we were talking about how good Sidney Crosby was playing. He was on pace for I believe 135 points. He was having his best year ever.
He was dominant.
And now he's out for the year and possibly next year and the year after, maybe forever. This Again, is just horrible for the sport of hockey. It's terrible. Think of all those kids that want to, everyone just wants to see the best players
on
the
ice. The question is, guys, unfortunately we need Sidney Crosby to raise the issue. What about David Perron? He hasn't played since earlier than Crosby.
Also a young prospect. But
do we need to hear from Crosby on this issue?
I think that's a pretty good point.
I was wondering that. Do we need to hear from Crosby?
I think so.
Okay. Well, it might be time to hear. I can't criticize him for not wanting to speak publicly. It's his health. But does he need to start? Is it time to maybe hear from Sidney so that we don't have these conjecture arguments where we don't actually know what's going on?
I think it's a good point.
Let's go to break. Our good friend Hustler just walked in. He's going to join us next segment. Are you drinking a beer?
I was just going to make that joke.
Jeez, you're starting early. I like it.
It's 2 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Top of the hour, 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. In case you missed any of our interviews from earlier this day, they'll be available on iTunes. Just search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on iTunes, and you can hear the interview we just conducted with Goldwater CEO Darcy Olsen. You can hear from Gabe Desjardins of BehindTheNetHockey.com, and you can hear just more of Richard, Ezzy, and myself. We're pleased to be joined in studio now by our new colleague here at Sports Radio 129. 1290. No, do you go by Mr. Hustler? Is that how we refer to you, or is it just Hustler?
By all sorts of nefarious nicknames. Andrew Patterson for the you trivia people out there. That's actually my real name.
Do your parents call you Andrew, or they call you Hustler now?
50-50.
Really?
No. With Andrew. Okay. They coined the phrase, you know. They may as well keep it going.
Okay, well, anyways, we're joined in studio now by our good friend Hustler joining us. You're going to be here for a couple segments, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I hang around with you guys, and then Wednesday we kick it off at 4 p.m. right in this very same studio. Can't wait.
Well, we're going to have to we'll have to leave some sort of congratulatory note or something. Or, Ezzy, you're leaving your mark
here,
aren't you?
Like a mint on the pillow, like a little mint for you and Gary. Like,
as long
just
as
leave
it's not something that'll just kind of be really noticeable around Wednesday.
That's right. 780-1290, 204-780-1290. We're going to talk Return of the Jets, the Coyotes, Gary Bettman's pathetic pleadings in. Was that editorializing there?
You always editorialize.
He's had a rough week.
Had a rough week. Let's talk about that to start off here. And of course, if you follow us on Twitter, send us your favorite tweets, and maybe we'll read your tweet on air at Legal Curve. Gary looked. The word I could use is defeatist. He looked as if he was just sort of going through the motions. He knew that they couldn't beat the Goldwater Institute.
Time is running out.
Time has run out. He just can't admit that it has. Because then, you know, the 4,000 fans that go to the games, they'd be down to 200 people there.
Was there anyone that saw his press conference in Glendale and didn't think that the fat lady was warming up in the back room as we spoke?
Actually, I think that's where Bill Daly was. He was dressed as the fat lady behind him.
For somebody who always is taking such a hard stance and is always adamant that whatever he thinks wants to happen is going to happen, he did look defeated. I agree.
It was amazing. I mean,
you're like Andy Rooney right now, Drew, with your one-on-one interview, and now the end of closing your statement here. You're just
and my eyebrows are completely out of control, also, right?
But it's true, though. I mean, for Gary Bettman, always takes a stance of, you know, what I want to happen is essentially going to happen, whatever it takes to get it done. And this time, it looked like, you know, with a certain amount of control. And this time, it looked like he had lost control.
Yeah,
we haven't given up.
He seemed to just be desperately. Pleading.
And he contradicted himself. We haven't given up. Time, you know, but time's running. Not that necessarily contradicts itself, but if you watch the statements that he was saying, slowly and slowly and slowly, it looked like it was getting out of his grasp.
When you transition,
we may have no choice.
Yeah, when you transition from That's we enough. Haven't given up to it's out of my hands.
Yeah,
I mean, I think we know where it's all going. I mean, it's a disaster for the NHL. It's been that way since 1996. They've never made any money.
Never.
I mean, the team is going to lose $40 million this season.
Also, there's a great article in Forbes.
Yeah,
that we linked on WheelCurve.com about how The amount of money that the Glendale area and the taxpayers of Arizona have put into this team is like three times as much as the worth of the value of the team.
That's
it's
right.
It's amazing. And they talk about the NFL, you know, how much money they put into the Glendale Stadium. It's being used 10 times a year. But there's a Super Bowl, obviously, there, and there's a bunch of perks that came with that. And the value of the team is increasing. They didn't put in as much as the team is worth. For the Coyotes, they put in, I think, three times more than the team is worth.
That's right. I mean, the team is worth right now $134 million. And the arena that they built was $220 million. So, I mean, the worth of the team, which is, you know, minimal, right, is only tied into the arena. So, really, the team is worthless.
And the problem, too, and this goes back to why we had a problem with the Jets leaving in the first place. We needed a new arena. And the entire debate with the Jets leaving, it wasn't Gary Bettman's, Gary Bettman didn't just snatch our team. The problem was, it was the you know, taxpayer money versus private money. And that was the huge problem. There was a huge debate. Remember, there was thin ice, and there was a huge, you know, debate about...
We also needed an owner.
And now we have that. And I mean, Darcy Olsen, you know, it was quoted in Gary Lawless's article, and then she mentioned this too in other interviews she's done, that, you know, the Dallas Stars are looking for an owner. The Dallas Stars aren't selling bonds, to raise the money.
Exactly.
So that's the issue here. In this day and age, I mean, the public can't subsidize a team, especially in Phoenix when they already subsidized the arena.
When the economy's tanked.
They're in the middle of an economic calamity down there. I can't remember who I was reading, but they talked about, you know, the drive from wherever they came in going to the jobbing.com arena.
That was the Securist article.
I mean, it was stark. I mean, when you talk about, you know, you hear about this big growing suburb of Glendale, Arizona, and, you know, up here you think, oh, it's all, you know, beautiful summer homes, and or I guess it would be winter homes and great development. Well, they started it all, but it was on an equation that they simply couldn't finish.
No,
and
of course,
with everything happening with the economy, it's a disaster.
It was on quicksand, and it fell apart, which we all know about, the housing market collapsing and everything.
The team moved. There was two owners. One sold out and tried to buy the Islanders, and then Richard Burke held the team. He sold it to Edelman and Moyes. Edelman sold out. Moyes had it. I mean, it's been 15 years, and they're going. This is what they're trying to do, their fourth or fifth owner. If the team was making any money,
they'd be holding on to it. If it was a good property to own,
I'm not paying my own money. And of course you're not, because you're going to lose it all.
Well, how ridiculous was that article from the Phoenix Business Journal? I mean, it was the Phoenix Business Journal. It was quickly refuted earlier this week that, you know, they were meeting and they were going to renegotiate. Hulsizer was going to put his own some of his own money in, and the NHL was going to offset some of the losses.
Oh.
I mean, why don't you just write nonsense? That's pretty much what that was.
They need David Copperfield putting together this next deal that'll be the one that'll actually make something happen for the Phoenix Coyotes in Arizona.
I'll tell you what I found. Not so much to do with Bettman's visit there, but on the hot stove last Saturday night, I couldn't believe how ignorant Mike Milbury was about the...
Have you ever watched the hot stove?
I know how ignorant Mike Milbury is, but...
He signed it, Pietro, to the 15-year contract.
I know.
The Matt Millen of the NHL.
Yeah, he is a Matt Millen of the NHL, exactly.
Well, boys, I think that there's...
Got the good TV gig after, too.
There's a lot of negativity. I mean, it starts with... I mean, we're all Winnipeggers in this room, and you know we're obviously we'll open up our arms for the Jets. I think everyone would do. I would do anything. I would, you know, trade in all my hockey cards for the Jets to come back.
But
I mean, there's a lot of negativity towards Winnipeg, that we're a cold city, we're this, we don't have enough money. The fact is, we have everything. We're waiting. We have an arena. We have wealthy owners. We have owners that have done an amazing job with the Manitoba Moose. We have hockey fans. Our economy is doing well. Our unemployment rate is low.
Well,
you can't. All of this stuff is nonsense. That hockey players don't want to come here and all this. It's
hockey players will go to a team that is a first-class organization and a team that wins. Nobody. I mean, with all due respect to Detroit, it's not very. You know,
you've been to Detroit before.
I have been to Detroit before. Yeah. I mean,
Joe Louis isn't exactly.
It was just a walk down 8 miles.
Ann Arbor.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I wouldn't necessarily want to live in Detroit, but hockey players will, and they want to go there because it's the best organization in hockey, and they're known for winning.
Right.
Hockey players want to go where they win. I mean,
Edmonton was destined. Place in the 80s.
Exactly. What about Paul Bissonnette's comments? They're funny.
They're great.
The chicks are hot around here. Undercover hot.
I don't even think they're undercover hot.
And they will have first dibs as well.
They will be kings of the city.
As long as they don't watch Bissonnette play hockey, they're okay.
Yeah. Best line of the week, though, was Tippett going, I'm pretty sure there's an American League team there if he wants to get going away.
It's like Tippett, okay,
Tippett's
chill out
a Saskatchewan boy, and he went to UND. So as much as, you know,
He would happily come back.
Yeah, I think he. I think
obviously
he
Richard's seen David Tippett's documentary.
Yeah, I read his bio.
Well, I mean, think about that situation, though, guys. I mean, they're still there. They're playing. They're wearing a Phoenix jersey. They're trying to finish a season. And realistically, I mean, these guys, they'll deal with all of that once they're finished in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the coach, no different than when the Jets left in 96. I mean, hey, I'm sure there was a few guys that probably were, oh, Phoenix? Right on. Sounds
exactly
good. But,
yeah.
I mean, they're not going to say that.
It was Claude Lemieux this week on Was It Off the Record saying, you know, it was a great place. I didn't see it myself. I was told secondhand about this. He said, you know, Phoenix, great place to have a beer with your friends, with your teammates after the game, you know, on your deck. Worst place to actually play hockey. Nobody cares.
Exactly. I mean, that's
nobody.
The problem. You know, I can understand. I mean, I don't agree with Shane Doan's comments by any stretch of the imagination,
but can I? That's my jeer, so I'll save it.
Okay, I can sort of understand where he's coming from, given that he has a family that's grown up in that area, and his kids are at sort of a, you know, at an age where uprooting them from Phoenix would be, you know, a difficult family decision to make. So I get that. I get that.
Hey,
but
ask any of the guys that have played for the Manitoba Moose, or the Winnipeg Gold Eyes, or the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, if they like the city of Winnipeg. Ask a guy like Buck Pierce. He loves Winnipeg. He's never stayed in any city. I think he's from California.
Montana.
He loves Winnipeg. He loves the fact that, you know, that Bomber fans are passionate. They talk about football all year round. Winnipeg is a great city. Yeah, it's cold. It's cold right now. There's a blizzard outside. But athletes love playing here.
But there'll still be 15,000 people jammed into the
ITSM. It's nonsense that, you know, people won't want to live here. Moving is part of professional sports. Ask a guy like Scotty Upshaw. He's been traded four times at the deadline or something.
Scotty Upshaw likes to party, though. That's his problem.
Yeah. The big difference here now compared to, you know, 1996 or whatever is, I mean, you look at that arena. That arena is has events going on it multiple times a week besides the hockey.
I'm going to cut you off. The biggest difference is that they own the arena, Drew.
That's what I'm saying. There's so many events going on in the arena, and every event that goes into that arena is just more money in their pocket.
Right.
Like, I was driving past the MTS Center on Thursday night. I didn't even know what was going on there. It was packed. It was like Buck Cherry and Papa Roach or something.
Bieber?
Yeah, Powerball.
Okay, I mean,
crowd at that event.
I had no idea, but, you know, it's there, and that's just revenue in the pocket.
Hart?
Remus and I went to Hart. Let's go to break. More on this topic when we come back. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on this Saturday morning. We're talking about the potential return of the NHL, or some would say the inevitable return of the NHL.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable? As he's given it the inevitable rubber stamp of approval?
It's edible, too. You can eat it.
Speaking of inevitable, Drew, isn't your wedding coming up soon? You got the date, right?
We talked about the date so many times on the show.
April 22nd.
Star music.
April 22nd,
2012.
Hustler and I were just having
the 21st.
No, it's the 22nd.
I was trying to get to the bottom of why he was marooned in Kentucky the day of the trade deadline.
Oh, there you go.
I made it back in time.
Imagine if there was a blizzard like today, Drew.
Well, the day after the trade deadline, Laura, my fiancé, was coming back to Winnipeg.
Your fiancé.
I've lost my fiancé. She was coming back to Winnipeg, and she was delayed 10 hours. So had it been a day later, I would not have made the trade deadline show.
Well, you guys had to pick out your ponies that you're going to ride on wedding day, right? So.
Is that like a horse reference or like
an image? I had a pony.
There you go.
Okay.
We had to get that in there.
Just based on our contract, we have to have one pony reference per show?
Every show.
Okay, good to know. Hustler and I were just sort of talking off air about the Coyotes and the Thrasher situation, and we sort of both agreed that Bettman has to put in the effort on Phoenix because his legacy is tied to Phoenix. Whereas if Atlanta, you know, say he gets it done in Phoenix, he won't hesitate to move Atlanta, you know, to whatever markets, you know, is, and hopefully this market is lucky enough to get them. He has to give, you know, 110% on the Phoenix market, but he doesn't have to care about the Atlanta market. How much of his ego is tied into Phoenix, do you think?
Well, a little bit of ego, but more the reality of the fact that his bosses are the board of governors of the NHL. I mean, the guys that own the team. And he had to go in and buy that team with their money.
Yeah.
You know, they managed to work out a deal to get an extra $25 million to cover the losses so they could go through the process of trying to, you know, put together this deal that we've discussed at length to make happen. But the bottom line is, I mean, with two teams sitting there with issues, as if he only has one option, as much as personally he might not want like the optics of moving the Phoenix Coyotes back to Winnipeg, he's got to take care of the guys that he looks across at the boardroom table that are paying his salary, and that's the owners of the NHL before it is the group in Atlanta.
He's got another five. He got a five-year contract extension, so he's got a little bit of security there.
TV factor, big TV market, and the TV contract coming up. Although, do you think Hugh Hackl on this show thought it would stay with Versus?
How much do you think that Bettman is sort of stalling on this? For obviously, we agree. I think ticket sales for the remainder of the Coyote season is a factor.
Yep.
And the second question: how much do you think the TV market,
by the way, that goes down? Even though they're in the race, it goes down because less people are vacationing at this time of the year, and more people are staying north.
Yeah, have you guys been to a game there?
I haven't.
Nope.
I mean,
it's depressing. But
well, if there's a Canadian team playing you close your eyes, you would think you were just in a, you know, maybe there's a blizzard or something, and only half this building could get here.
Right. Yeah.
But everyone's cheering for the Canucks. I mean, I was in Dallas for the Super Bowl, and there happened to be pretty much that exact
Nobody
scenario.
Nobody games there anymore.
No. Well, you know what? That Dallas-Calgary game was fantastic on Wednesday night.
Who'd you see there?
And there was nobody there.
I saw the Canucks. It was actually Cody Hodson's first game, so it was kind of cool. You know, obviously having a background with the Moose and, you know, how well they've done with supplying players to the Canucks. I mean, knew about half the guys on the team.
Right.
So I ripped down there, and this was during the infamous blizzard of Super Bowl week.
You were able to drive, were you?
We were only bit. It was a rogue cabbie gave me a ride because I basically just went up
to
a guy
Kane.
Here, can you take me to the rink with some money? Well, I didn't quite go Kane on him. He luckily, he took me nicely to there. But anyways, just grabbed a ticket outside and went in. There could have been more than 4,000 people in the building.
It's crazy.
So depressing.
Of that, probably two were in Canucks jerseys.
And the thing is, Hustler, even though none of us have been to a Coyotes game, everyone we always talk to says the same thing. Nobody in Arizona cares about the Coyotes. And if you ask someone, you know, to put a hockey game on at a bar or something like that, some people they laugh or they don't even, there's such a lack of interest there that it seems like there's only a collection of, you know, stakeholders that care that this team's leaving, and it's the city and, you know, a few season ticket holders.
Yeah,
but really, there's just not
a smaller group of people. I mean, with almost any team anywhere, you'll find a small group of people that are really passionate. They really care.
And I feel bad for those people.
For sure.
I feel bad for Little Logan. I have a soft spot in my heart for Little Logan.
He's a good negotiator. He managed to get an extra year out of that guy wearing a Doan jersey at a city council meeting.
Phil Lieberman drew.
I have a soft spot for Phil
Lieberman. Winder 101 with Phil Lieberman.
Yeah, well, that's
not
next,
soon
next,
enough,
next week.
As far as I'm concerned.
Phil, how is the Kasha? you know, it's... You look, I mean, first of all, the amazing, not so much Phoenix, but if you look at the Canucks road trip through the western United States.
The fans are traveling.
Apparently every single game that the Canucks played recently, L.A., Anaheim, did they go to Phoenix as well?
Yeah,
they went to Phoenix
Karis
as well.
Was writing about it, how they're in Phoenix, they're in L.A., they're everywhere.
The fans made the road trip with them, and it was a Canuck-dominated crowd everywhere.
You know, I got to say one thing. I mean, having worked with the Jets at the time when they actually left and was doing tickets and stuff, I mean, the one thing when people talk about, the economy's different, we've got the arena, the one thing that I don't think, it's hard to really put a number on or really measure, but the fan culture of Canada has absolutely changed. I mean, you can look at just at the CFL. I mean, the Bombers have sucked for the last few years.
Yep.
Guess what? You know what? Most of the times going to a game is an absolute blast. If the team's not doing well, people still turn in. You look at what's happening in Saskatchewan. And then look at the NHL teams. If I'm not mistaken, since 2003, every Canadian franchise has been playing at over 100% capacity.
And you know what? I think that's a lot to do with media.
It's
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. There's more coverage on them. It's now. You're right.
We should give ourselves a pat on the shoulder.
You have three full-time sports networks.
Are we in the
internet? You have everything. I've always said that since the lockout, NHL on TV has doubled or tripled in terms of content.
There's no night.
Now you have a nightly hockey show on both big networks. You have obviously your sports highlights. You have the score, which is showing me horses running over wrestlers. But like, even they show highlights. Like you have so much on the internet, and you have the radio, and you have shows like this, shows like your own. It's growing exponentially, and it's the advertising. I mean, when 1996, it was hardly. You know, it was a couple articles on the sports page, and it was obviously on people's minds. But now, I mean, if a team were to come back, for example, when I did the morning papers on illegalcurve.com, you could go in Edmonton, for example, you have the Sun and the Journal. I had to pick out three or four articles out of 16 daily articles.
They write about everything. They're writing about Theo Peckham's wingspan.
They literally do, and people care.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. And it's you're right. The media issue, or not issue, but the coverage of it is so fulsome at this point that you're right. You can't help but get swept up in the coverage. And every team is its own nation. You know, you heard about Red
That's
Sox
right.
Nation.
That's right.
Every team now is its own nation. In Saskatchewan, there's the Rough Riders Nation, Canucks Nation, Leafs Nation, Canadian, every team.
That's right.
And, a team comes back here, there's going to be Winnipeg Jets television, and there'll be,
yep.
Winnipeg League Jets lunch. I mean,
you'll be drinking pitchers at Moxie's, yep.
What does that have to do with the Jets? You would be doing that anyway.
I want to talk to Hustler's point, though, because I think that a huge turning point in what you're talking about with the sellouts in Canadian arenas goes back to the lockout. I think when the NHL, in 2004, when the players were locked out, I think it was like all Canadians, were like, what am I going to do? How much poker can I watch on TV? How much poker can I play? Every Saturday, I watch hockey. In my case, I watch hockey every minute. So... in the U.S., I don't think they cared
Split
at all.
Split screen.
I think, if anything, they lost, tens of thousands of fans in the U.S., and people were like, oh, hockey, who cares?
Hockey's a hardcore fan sport.
It was like almost like Seinfeld reruns were being taken off the air. It was this, actually, that's a terrible analogy. But you know what I mean? Like,
we have a call. We do have a call. Let's go to Vince in
Thank
the West
you for
End.
That.
Vince, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Did we lose him?
Did we lose Vince? Oh, we're still talking to Remus.
Is Vince McMahon?
Yeah. I don't think it's Vince McMahon.
Yeah, not about my reference about horses running over wrestlers. And Vince McMahon has called the show.
Yeah.
But hey, just to back up to that one more thing we were talking about with, the fan culture changing. I mean, if you went to games, I mean, everyone knows Winnipeg had a great rep for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. It was electric. Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm sorry.
The other 40 games of the year, when we're sitting there with Calgary or Montreal or Toronto in there, there was more jerseys of the opposing teams than there were our home team. And, I mean, that's kind of a dirty little secret that we don't like to admit. But I truly believe that now, having lost it for 15 years, having this younger generation move up, that is going to be the starkest difference. People aren't going to be sort of shy about the fact that they are supporting the home team.
Yeah,
They're going to do it full guns blazing, and that will be truly the catalyst.
If we're in a division with the other Canadian, Canadian teams.
And Colorado would go to the Pacific.
Yeah, 15 or 20 nights a year, every game is going to feel like a playoff
game.
Because those games against the Canadian teams will be extra important. Vince, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there.
Hi, Vince. What's your take on the return of the NHL to Winnipeg?
Well, I don't want to be a wet blanket, first off. I'm probably going to sound like one. Long-time huge supporter of NHL hockey in Winnipeg. But just on your last point, I really think to suggest that there's a new culture that would support hockey in Winnipeg is not correct, because the face of Manitoba is changing. Each and every year we're getting newcomers to Canada that hockey is not their sport of choice. So I think that's not really a good argument to make. Secondly...
Hold on a second. Have you paid attention to what's happening in Calgary or Vancouver or elsewhere? I mean, these teams are the unifying force of the cities, the pride that they're putting in. And, I mean, I don't know if you can make an argument why we'd be different than any of these other cities in our country.
Sure.
Make it. But I'll be honest with you. I think this is going to be the one thing that really does bring everything together, gives people some sense of civic pride, and frankly, makes them feel more like a Winnipegger or a Manitoban than they are right now.
Sure, and I appreciate your comment, and I don't 100% disagree with you, but if we were to look at, comparatively speaking, Winnipeg in comparison to Calgary, to Vancouver, even Edmonton, it's really, you can't make the comparison economically. We're flat growth.
Your original argument had nothing to do with economics, and it had to do with population.
Yeah, and well, population-wise, if you want to take that as well, I mean, if you look at even a city that would be most closely related to Winnipeg would be Edmonton. They still have a city that is 300,000 people larger than the city of Winnipeg.
And that's true.
The province as a whole is only 1 million people. The greater metropolitan Edmonton or Calgary municipalities have in excess of 2 million people drawn.
They're bigger, and that's true, Vince, the truth is that Calgary is filling 19,000, 20,000 seats a night, which Winnipeg wouldn't have to. Edmonton's filling 16, I think 8, and they'll have to include more when they get a bigger arena. Points well taken in that sense. But, back to your point in terms of, I guess the immigration numbers into Canada, and of course, hockey maybe not being the sport of choice. True. However, the question is, does their socioeconomic background of the people coming in anyways present themselves as people who would be willing to buy tickets anyways?
Yeah, and again, I could be wrong. I'm just trying to, like, throw some
thoughts
for Biden, that sort of, and I'm not anti-immigration, by the way. I don't want to give that perception either. But I'm just thinking, though, you know, I would love, I mean, if the Jets came back or if a team came back, I would certainly be a season ticket holder. I just, you know, when I think of the economics, and also think, I don't know if there's an appetite from a corporate standpoint, aside from MTS, aside from maybe Hydro and maybe Bueller and a couple of other groups, I don't know if we have the corporate base that would be able to sustain what, you know.
Vince, have you read you read Jeff Kerbison's article in the Winnipeg Free Press?
Yeah, another one.
No, I didn't. No.
It talks about the corporate want. For Winnipeg, and the corporate want is big. I mean, I go to, you know, I work for a company that happens to pay for a box at the MTS Center, and those boxes are in high demand and will only be in higher demand once the Jets come back. Vince, we appreciate the call. We're right up
against it. Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the time, guys.
Thanks, Vince. Okay, let's go to break. More on this topic when we come back. Hustler, are you able to stick around?
I'll stick around more. No problem.
Okay, there you go. Let's go to the break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Continuing on with our Jets talk, and nothing gets the phone lines lighting up quite.
Get off MySpace.
Nothing like getting the phone lines lighting up quite like hockey time. Leave it on. Yeah, don't blame me. We have, I think, Gary in Oak Bank. You're on the line. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Gary. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on. I just want to touch base a little bit. I've actually got a place down there. Been going down to Phoenix for probably 20 years or so. So I sort of saw them when they moved from Winnipeg into what at that time was America West Arena. I guess now it's called U.S. Airways Center, where the Suns play.
Yep.
You know, and then the new arena. And I mean, it was supported pretty good for a couple of years. But I think, you know, guys, one thing that, you know, that I know Bettman and a lot of media people don't put much onus on, but, and I know ownership, there's been all kinds of turmoil in that. But the last 2 years, there's been pretty solid clubs down there. And the bottom line is that the people of Phoenix, they haven't supported the club. I mean, I've been to probably, I don't know, 8 games in the last 2 years. I was at the Detroit playoff series last year, and you know, I'm telling you, there was all of 8,000 Detroit fans, even when the place was sold out. If Chicago's down there, they keep talking about, wow, there's a sellout when Chicago's down there, but with spring training down there, there's 50,000 people from Chicago down there who right now can't get into the United Center. You know what I mean? So you have to take kind of all of this with a grain of salt, where the fan support, bottom line, is just isn't there. And the Suns, Phoenix Suns, is their Winnipeg Jets.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the club that's been a staple in the community forever. They've got players that have lived there for 20 years now that are icons in the town. And no matter what, the media, you know, you guys mentioned the influence of the media. Down there, they are way behind, I mean, ASU baseball, you know, any of the spring training. I mean, they are probably 5-6 down the list. What? And then when you throw in all the stuff like the PGA Golf and the NASCAR and that, I mean, I just don't know how they can make it work, guys. I mean, it's
The best way I find of looking at it is you go to the Arizona Republic webpage, and you click on the sports section, and you look at all the teams and all the different sports that are listed ahead of the Coyotes in terms of articles. And, I mean, they have spring training ahead of there. They have the Coyotes are,
say, yeah, the caller said it,
are way behind everything
Arizona
else.
State baseball, Arizona State basketball, for sure.
Yeah.
Arizona Wildcat basketball.
Yeah, and, you know, guys, you got to keep in mind, ASU is like, it's in Tempe. It's right in the heart of Phoenix. I mean, so, you know, they've got a 13,000-seat stadium there. And another thing in the business stuff that gets overlooked, Winnipeg versus Phoenix, you got to be mindful of, is when it comes to things like concerts and non-hockey event nights where all the gravy's made, is that you have places like, they've just changed the name, but it's called the Dodge Theater, where there's like, I mean, big acts go there and play these outdoor amphitheaters. U.S. Airways Center, I mean, like Rod Stewart and Stevie Nicks or something are playing there in a couple of months. You know, like, they can't draw the non-hockey nights, no matter how nice the arena is. And it's a beautiful arena, guys. If probably the closest, it would be very comparable to the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. I mean, the place is gorgeous. And that's why you just have to kind of look at it, go. And, you know, they made a huge mistake in Phoenix a few years back, and I'll wrap up quick, but they bulldozed a mall called the Los Arcos Mall, which was right in between Arizona State and Scottsdale, where all the corporate money and season ticket holder base would be. And then you got 100,000 plus students that they could have had access to, a place about the size of like Grant Park Mall. They bulldozed it. They were going to build an arena there exclusively for the Coyotes. The deal fell through, and I think that was it right there, because it's an hour and 20-minute commute on a weeknight to get to those games. It ain't going to work, and let's hope to see him back here soon.
Thanks for the call, Rick.
Okay, thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It. 780-1290, 780-1290. You can always send us your comments on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve.
The other thing that just blows me away, and like, this is a great call that Gary just said. You know, someone that's been down there, has some experience going to games, knows the market a little bit. I mean, the fallacy that Gary Bettman in the NHL has been trying to sell to the hockey world, that all they need is new ownership. Like, what's that going to change? What is it, new ownership that's going to hijack every media market in Phoenix and force-feed them Coyotes hockey for a couple years and create fans? Is it going to be one that's going to import 2 million Canadians to the Glendale area so they can come in?
I'm sorry, Hustler, if they were really, really upset that, you know, the Coyotes were leaving, they have a good hockey team there. They're in a playoff spot. They should be buying tickets. They should be selling out their
arena.
And
they're so cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not cost prohibitive.
And they're cheaper than Moose tickets.
Well, that's one of the things about why so many of these Canadians that sometimes have a hard time getting a ticket in their own city go down there. You can
exactly
get a cheap
right.
flight, fly
that's
down there.
The tax, yeah.
We'll get $10 tickets and sit first row on the glass and, you know, have a great time on the road.
Same as, you know, the Leafs fans, the Habs fans have caught a Leafs game in Florida. That was like 7 years ago. There's all these fans.
You can get a ticket right now at a Panthers game by just bringing in 5 losing lottery tickets.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking.
That's amazing. Phone lines are lighting up, guys.
10 years out of the playoffs, we'll do that.
Holy. Remus is doing his best to juggle the phone lines.
That might be a new low for, you know, buying tickets in the U.S. because a friend of ours who lives in New York sent us a promotion also in Phoenix that you can buy 2 regular season tickets and a playoff ticket for $50.
Drew had a 2
that's unbelievable.
2 6 of vodka you can buy. Let's go, Drew. Let's go to Phil. and EK. Phil, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
I just wanted to comment, like some of the other callers, that I've been to Phoenix more than once and been to a game, and the arena's in the middle of nowhere. If you're staying at any of the nice hotels, it is a very far drive, so the location's terrible. There is almost nobody in the building, and like other callers have said, if there is somebody, they're usually snowbirds that are there, and the atmosphere's terrible. You can buy a $10 ticket and sit almost anywhere. They don't have when I was there anyway, they didn't have the security like they have at MTS Center where you can only sit on the level of the ticket that you bought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No one cares. The numbers never worked from day one.
Appreciate the call, Phil. Thanks very much.
Okay.
That's what I always find hilarious. There's nobody at the games.
Well, I was like,
yet the upper decks are. Why are people still sitting in the upper decks?
But you can do the old tricks. Well, first of all, I appreciate Phil's call because again, another guy with experience in Phoenix. But the old trick is just go on your cell phone and walk by the person trying to get tickets, and then they just don't notice. But and I always wonder that too, Drew. I mean, for the TV's sake. I mean, if there's more fans in the upper deck, which in Phoenix there isn't, but in some cities there are, cheaper tickets. Why do you want it to look like on TV nobody's there?
Exactly.
And then have everybody upstairs.
Chris and Saint Patel, you're on. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hello.
Chris, turn your radio down, please.
Yeah, no problem. How are you guys today?
Good. How about yourself, Chris? What do you have to say about this?
Well, so, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we'd all feel a little more comfortable if the MTS Center had 1,000 extra seats.
You know what, Chris, I'm going to step in there quickly because I don't think that's what they want. I think what Mark Chipman and David Thompson want is a high-demand ticket. I don't think they want 16,500. I think they'd probably still sell it, but I don't think they want to have that pressure. They want to have a demand, and the 15,000, to me, is actually a good number for this market. And so, and I know it's
kind of like the Alouettes then, right?
Exactly right.
Yep. Scarcity of the ticket is what will drive the demand long-term beyond the first season. I spent more than 10 years hawking tickets in this town, from the Jets to the Moose to Hockey Canada stuff, wait, and I can tell you...
Are you the youngest-looking 45-year-old in the world?
So the one thing...
Lots of miles, though.
If I can ask you guys a question, what's holding up Glenwood right now? And I think that...
Glendale.
Glendale right now. I think you both say, in a roundabout way, it's the parking.
Well, that's the only thing. I mean, if the... Oh, no, it's Goldwater. If Goldwater went away, and, I mean, Goldwater's biggest issue is the bond sale.
What's the $100 million for? The $100 million just for the parking,
Oh,
right?
the illegalities of the parking issue with the deal,
yes,
sure.
Yes, that's right.
Well,
that's fine.
what does the NPS Center do for parking, and how will the Jets?
There's plenty of parking downtown.
How will the Jets get revenue from parking?
They have, if you're a Moose season ticket holder right now, you have the option on, they've negotiated in, I believe, two City Place lots, the big lot connected with the library, mm-hmm. And, you know, as a season ticket holder, you can purchase those at maybe a bit of a discount or guarantee your spot for the season. What it's really going to do, I mean, there, obviously, it'll probably be a more valuable parking income coming into the hockey club, but really the effect of, you know, farther out, you know, 5-6 blocks away from the MTS Center on things that, well, who knows, maybe have been negotiated as part of something. I'll say one thing about the True North Group. They've done everything right, and they've looked at this with a long-term
That's
vision.
Right. They've crunched the numbers.
So, I mean, they're far along the process and really have done, I think, everything that you would need to do to give this the best shot of working.
Don't get me wrong. I am a huge, huge, huge Bring the Jets Back to Winnipeg conk, and I'll let you know a little story. I used to go to Perth, get the old $10 tickets, and then move
Drew's
down.
Happy to hear
first,
that.
Move down after the first period.
That's right.
And there you go.
You're definitely dating yourself with that reference.
I used to go to Max and do the same.
We appreciate it nonetheless, Chris. Great. Thanks very much. We're right up against the break. Let's when we come back, we have Steve in East St. Paul on the lines. More callers at 780-1290. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290. It's 11:45 in the morning. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. One final segment for this Saturday morning. It's amazing. You turn the conversation to the return of the Jets, and the phone lines go absolutely ballistic. If you want to get in on the conversation, 780-1290. If you're a little bit shy and you want to tweet us your comments instead, you can do that at Illegal Curve. Facebook.com/Illegal Curve is how to find us on Facebook. And I believe we have another caller on the line. I didn't quite get his name.
It was Steve from East St. Paul.
Steve?
Yeah.
Steve from East St. Paul. Welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Thanks for joining us this morning.
How you doing?
Good, Steve. How you doing?
Pretty good. I just want to make a comment on how just everyone in Winnipeg gets so worked up. We've been here before, and I think everyone just thinks it's a foregone conclusion. When we get a little sniff of the Jets might come back, we know the Coyotes are suffering. And I think, Eddie, you know, you're only setting yourself up for some disappointment here.
Really, you're on the negative side of the
Not
point.
Not necessarily on the negative side. Just trying to be patient, you know.
Patience is definitely a virtue.
I think at some point though, what we have to do. I mean, well, at some point though, there needs to be a deadline here in terms of. I think from True North's side more so than from Phoenix's
side. Absolutely.
I mean, you have to. I mean, Hassel, you've worked with the Moose, you know, worked within that building and with the Moose. You have to sell tickets. You have to be able to sell for next year. The price points are far different. You're marketing to a different kind of clientele than you would be if the Jets were to come out.
The amount of new deals they need to do, radio, television, not to mention doing new leases for game changes for your suite holders when all of a sudden you've got an NHL team
That's
there.
Right.
So there is so much to do, and that is why, I mean, you know, we've talked before about all the homework True North's done beforehand and getting their ducks in a row. The bottom line is they still need time to do things properly. I mean, last summer there was even talk that, oh, maybe this is just going to fall apart. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Mark Chipman, David Thompson, everyone working for Mark in that building, you know, doesn't want to be given 6 weeks or 2 months to put it together.
You got to move the Moose.
Well, that's another thing.
Yeah, it's right. It's not fair to give him a 6 week
time. You have
to do
the legal transactions that go along with the actual sales of the team. I mean, it's not an easy deal.
You have to get it approved by the Board of Governors. There's a lot of steps.
And the AHL steps as well, right? You have to be able to sell the AHL team.
And you know, for our caller, I just want to say one thing, Steve. I think in December when, you know, the city of Glendale worked out a lease agreement with Matthew Hulsizer, I basically was giving up on the Jets' return. And I think what's changed, especially with that interview with Gary Bettman, I've never seen Gary Bettman look that depressed. I've never seen him look so defeated, and I think that they have no option now but to relocate a team, and there's only one place for that team to go, and it's Winnipeg. There aren't any other cities that are just waiting with a brand new arena for a hockey team. There just aren't.
They'd love nothing more than to be able to pick up and have the Thrashers fill the void in Winnipeg and take care of this, but I mean, like we said before, they are so screwed in Phoenix right now, and that's the one he has to take care of first because that's the one he'll get called on by.
And for everybody here, the story just makes itself, right?
That's right.
Getting our team
back. Exactly. Thanks for the call. I think we have Mike in Richmond West on the line now. Mike, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Mike, you there?
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, you know what? Great show. I've been on the edge of my seat all morning.
Appreciate that.
Okay, first of all, Glendale, they're maintaining that the parking is owned by the Coyotes, right? That's their principal argument?
Glendale, the city of Glendale says that the Coyotes own the parking and they're going to purchase the parking rights from the team
for
$100 right. million. Dollars.
Okay. But not really.
Let's say that falls through and the Coyotes get sold to True North. Does the parking revenue from Glendale then flow to True North here in Winnipeg?
Well, the city's never going to buy the parking revenue. The city's never going to buy the parking revenue unless the team stays in Phoenix. It's never going
to
happen.
My point being, though, it's a ridiculous notion to say that the team owns the parking, because if the team moves, the parking revenue is not going to come with the team.
Right, and I think for our caller, Mike, I think what the Goldwater Institute has said basically is that the city of Glendale used taxpayer money to fund the arena, and the parking is part of that. And what they're saying is the city owns they've done the research, and what they've concluded is that the city owns the parking. And if they're selling parking, or you know, to Matthew Hulsizer, they're essentially selling parking to themselves.
Yes, Goldwater says that the city already owns the parking, unless some nefarious deal happened that they haven't publicized.
And if the city of Glendale could prove otherwise, they would have been waving that legal document in the air.
Of course, and that's what I asked Darcy Olson earlier on the program when we spoke to her, and she said absolutely, if we had that documentation, we would have, they would have already presented it to us, but they obviously don't. Thanks for the call.
Closer to home.
Sure.
How much lead time does True North need
That's what we were just discussing. I think, to be honest, I mean, this is guesswork in my opinion, but I think it has to be around mid-April.
Okay.
Any later than that, and they are really put at a disadvantage to making everything as good as they really need it to be to start on the right foot.
Because
they're
still preparing for the AHL playoffs. The Moose are in first place right now. They still have to prepare for that.
You know what would be great? Phoenix goes out in four straight or something in the NHL. Yeah. They make the announcement.
Or they don't make it, period.
Or they don't make it, period. The NHL makes the announcement, and the city rallies behind the Moose and takes the Moose on a long playoff run.
I think that'd be great.
Yeah. Thanks very much for the call. We have
thanks, Mike.
One of our apparently we've been so riveting today that even Hustler wants to get, not Hustler, Hustler Lawless wants to get in on it.
No one's owned the story like he has. So
that's right. Is he on the line?
I think Remus is getting him on.
He's on
the line. Gary Lawless. Good morning.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just was listening to you guys, and a couple of things that struck me as worth commenting on. The caller that called two previous and said that we all assume this is a foregone conclusion that the team is coming back, he makes a good point. There's nothing done here, guys. And until you see Mark Chipman stand up to a podium and say that there's a National Hockey League team coming here, there is no team here. So we do need to keep we need to be prepared to be let down. There is potential for that. Gary Bettman is doing everything he can to try and keep that team here. This is far from over, in my opinion.
But what else can he do, Gary? I mean, what other cards does he have? I mean, who knows?
Gary Bettman's a smart guy. He's got a 5-year contract. He's got he has the owner's support. Just be wary, fellas. This is not over.
No,
there could be another shoe to drop. They're working on something. Don't think for a moment that they are going to lay down. Everyone says he looked depressed. He looked this. He looked that. Now, he woke up the next day and he woke up fighting again.
Well, then, what do you make of? Did you not think that he looked slightly defeatist?
No, not at all. I think he looked frustrated.
Well,
I think he's furious that there is a group other than his employers telling him where to put an NHL franchise. And just like he blocked Jim Valcilli and went and fought that team, who would have expected that? What's that?
He's got no say in what Goldwater does. He can't control. Goldwater it holds all the cards in this case.
No, they don't. Goldwater prevents the sale of the bond. They don't prevent Gary Bettman from doing something else with that franchise. There are other options, fellas, that they're working on. Maybe you're right. Maybe there's nothing else. Maybe it's a slam dunk. I just think we need to be cautious.
Look, I
followed this story from the beginning. I've watched all its twists and turns. There's no team here today. And that every day that it goes by, you can take the point of view that gets us one day closer, or you can take the point of view that every day that goes by that there's no announcement, that they're still scheming and still trying to work on something.
I don't disagree with you that he's working on things, but I agree with you that we should be cautious. But at this point in time, I think he would have played whatever card he had left.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely wrong.
Okay, well, that wouldn't be the first time I've been wrong.
And Gary, I think...
New show.
And Gary...
Wallace and Drew.
And Gary, it's Ezra here, and I know that you know, I read every single article...
The Garden Gnome.
The Garden Gnome. And I read every single article you write in the Free Press, and I know that you are at the forefront, and you're the premier sports writer that's writing about it, and I agree with you. And I think that is me... and my hope shouldn't be clouded by what's really going on. And I think I speak for myself. I really want this team to come back, and it's not from, you know, the perspective of the radio show. It's that I'm a fan, and I think you're right. Until we see, you know, that deal.
I'm gonna get in there. I disagree. Yeah. I mean, I agree with Drew here. I just don't, I think they're out of options.
We had when we did our first special here on 1290. What was it, about a week and a half ago? You know, I'm just thinking back to whether it was Burnside or, I mean, pretty much every person that maybe wasn't speaking the way you were in weeks past had really come around to it.
Yes, exactly. And
this is the thing. I mean, for those of us, you know, that maybe haven't been as connected and behind the scenes like you have through it, last week when, you know, Bill Daly and Bettman go down there and kind of throw it down and, you know, say, hey, now, like, it's out of my hands. I mean, I think it's obvious that a lot of people will... get their hopes up in your own words and wait for what exactly is that next step.
What I found telling,
but what exactly happened? They went there, they made a couple of speeches. Darcy Olsen has been on every radio program in North America since, but nothing's happened. There's been no okay, we're done.
Well, there can't be. But to me, Gary,
why can't there be?
Because they have another 10 games they want to try and sell.
Whoever said that? That's just people making stuff up and guessing, oh, they can't do it because of this. Oh, they can't do it because of that.
Of course I'm guessing. My question is this, though. Why does Gary Bettman go down there? I don't understand the point.
Well, maybe to go and say, look, let's look for some other option.
Why can't he do that on the phone? Why hasn't he already done that if that's the case?
Guys, listen, the Board of Governors view Phoenix as a valuable market. I don't know why. Listen, don't get me wrong.
Oh, we know how you stand.
I'm not supporting keeping the Coyotes there. Obviously, I'd love to see the NHL in Winnipeg. And I think it's going to happen sooner than later. However, I'm just saying, we've all these people saying that this is a done deal, it's over in Phoenix. It's not. And until it is, we need to keep our eye on the possibility that it won't happen.
That I won't. That we'll leave it there. We'll leave it there, Gary.
Hold
thanks
on,
very
I just
much.
Want, I just
no,
want
we got to leave her there as okay, we're right up against the clock. Right. Gary, thanks very much for that. I think we have one final caller. We'll go to Dan. He's in the north end. He's been waiting patiently.
Still
and
there?
And that'll no. Dan's gone.
No time.
We got no time. Tim is frantically waving. We got no time.
You know, if Dan, is it Dan or Don?
It's Dan.
If Dan calls back first thing next week, we'll get him on right away.
Yeah, but I just want to say one thing to Gary, who's now
on the line. Say it for cheers and jeers.
Okay. One thing's for sure, though. I can't wait. If the Jets, when the announcement's made, I can't wait to read his article. That's all I have to say. I know what he's saying. He's telling
Are you taking Laws up for a date after this?
No. But I'm serious. He's telling us to relax.
The Garden Gnome clip is going to be in our highlights.
Everything is pointing towards this.
Cheers
deal
and
happening.
Jeers, boys. Let's go to cheers and jeers.
Cheers. Congratulations.
He's brilliant.
He's a good guy. And jeers.
No, not good enough.
He's a bad boy.
I never seen something stinks like this.
Surprisingly not good.
Richard, cheer, dear.
I'm going to be quick. My jeer, you know, people made a lot about the Shane Doan comments about not coming back. You know, how would it work here if the team lost again? Can we just, my jeer is to people who think Shane Doan is a Winnipeg Jet. He played 1 year here as an 18-year-old guy. I mean, like, he wasn't here any longer. Mike Eagles is more of a Jet than Shane Doan is. Like, give me a break. I don't want to hear Shane Doan's comments about, he doesn't know anything about this stuff.
That's fair. Ezzy, cheer, cheer.
And on that topic, Paul Bissonnette, you know what? Just I want to hear positivity. I don't want to hear any more negative stuff about the return coming. I think it's going to happen. And he was positive. And he was basically saying that the Coyotes should be happy to move to Winnipeg because there's undercover hot girls. So. Biz Nasty 2.0.
That's actually another good fantasy sport team name, Undercover Hot Girls. Hustler, you got
the Jets are coming back.
Do you have a cheer, Jerry?
You know, I'll cheer you guys and everyone here at 1290 who's welcomed us the way they have. And we can't wait to kick off Hustler and Lawless 4 to 6 on the drive Wednesday. And who knows, maybe we'll have timed this perfectly for some big news.
Oh, be nice. Tease there. I'll end off cheers and jeers. I'm going to cheer everybody who participated in this show. This was a lot of fun this last hour. Phone lines were buzzing, and we appreciate all your calls. And stay
tuned.
Show, join us next week. We'll be back here on 1290. Big thank yous today to Gabe Desjardins of BehindTheNetHockey.com. Big thank you to Darcy Olson of the Goldwater Institute. A big thank you to Hustler for joining us. A big thank you to Lawless for calling in. In case you missed any of the show, it's available on iTunes. Search for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And until next Saturday morning here on Sports Radio 1290, we wish you good night and good luck.